Welcome to the Life Melbourne podcast. We're so glad you're joining us for another hope-filled message. We pray that you're encouraged by this powerful word from our Sunday service.
And again, how are we all? Good, good to hear. How cold and dark was it this morning? We are well and truly in the middle of winter. And so I just wanted to start by saying how incredible you are, prioritising church and saying, I'm in the house of God. And we just love you. You are amazing. And I'm excited about this series that we're in on generosity. Yep. Today, we're actually going to go into some questions around how the Word of God, what the Word of God speaks about when it comes to generosity. And not just looking at finances. Often that can be where we go to. And that is obviously, like the Bible says, we give based on where our heart is at. So that's a huge part of it. But then also generosity with our time, generosity with our words, generosity in the lives that we live, that it's not just confined to finance, but in every area. And so we just thought it would be brilliant today to have Charlene, May and Brendan here. And so honoured to have you all with us. So good. Charlene has been part of our young adult and our young professional ministry for so many years and is just an amazing part of life. May and Keen have been part of life now for eight or so years, May, yeah. And it's, again, foundational members of who we are as a church, an incredible couple. And then Brendan and Ange are just... have been here before we were here. Yeah. And just a phenomenal couple. Brendan is on our board and just looks after so many parts of church. He's actually our general manager for church as well now, which is amazing. So we love Brendan and Ange. They're phenomenal. But today, I thought it would be great to get right into it. And I love what it says in Isaiah 32, verse 8. But a generous person devises generous things, and by generosity they shall stand. And you know, when it comes to generosity, there is nothing about generosity that just happens by chance. Right. We just don't wake up and just happen to be generous. It doesn't flow naturally from who we are. It's because we devise it. It's because we plan it. It's because we scheme it, like the Bible says. Because it's actually going against self. It's going against who we naturally want to be. So you have to be very intentional about it. So, and I wanted to start off today, and everyone can answer this question, but how you have planned and the importance of being intentional with generosity versus just kind of being flippant with it. How important has intentionality been? Brendan, why don't you kick us off?
P.S. It's Brendan's birthday today. Did we make mention of that?
It's Brendan's birthday.
So it's only right. It's only right to have the birthday boy lead us out. So sorry, Brendan.
Thank you. I normally honour Craig, but you did send me some text during the week when Queensland won. And
I did.
Still a bit bitter, so we'll yeah. Keep that gap there. But no, I think for me, I'll come from it from a slightly different angle. So I think when it comes to generosity, I've got to give thanks to those that have come before me. I think for me, it is a generational thing. So I think of what my grandparents have done, what I've seen them, and through their generosity, I've seen it through my parents, through my in-laws, and I've just had to, for me, it's been carrying that legacy on, so it's been quite a responsibility to make sure that I continue that through the generations to come as well. So that's one of my main motivations for giving. I think of two quick examples, the first one being my grandparents that were from Mauritius, and they made the decision for my dad and his siblings to move to Australia, to sacrifice everything, to sacrifice businesses, sacrifice their livelihood so their children could have a better future. So for me, that's one example. And then I look also just in my world as well, just the things that we have, that Ange and I have, that we've been able to give, the house that we're in now, was because of our parents as well and what they were able to give as well. So to me, part of why I give and that generosity is not only through the sacrifices, through actions, but also obviously through finances as well. So I just want to continue and honour that legacy.
Just building on what Brendan had said, you got to start, you know. And for me, it was watching my mother. And people think, oh, you got to be generous and you got to be well off. No, you start with small things. My mother lived in a neighborhood. And it was when she cooks for the neighbors as well, and she gives the neighbors, and we see the joy, and we see how people reciprocate. So you don't wait to be you're well off before you can be generous. You know, and I think for that, it for me, that has always been something that I just do naturally. You know, if I hear somebody say, oh, I love those coconut biscuits, and oh, all right, it's only $5, you know, it's not going to break my bank, but I will buy it and say, here you go, and you see the joy. So, you know, so and generosity, I think personally for me also, you got to leverage your gifts.
Yeah. Look,
empathy is not very strong for me. So, but I because I'm aware of it, I try to be. But I think then being generous in other ways is easier. Generous with words is probably harder. But I think with money, I actually don't find it difficult to be generous. This is not about boasting. It's just about relativity. And you know, if I have $10 and I give you a dollar, it's very generous. It gets harder when you have $100,000. How do you be generous? So therefore, I prioritize. And you know, the question might come later, what are my priorities? So that's how I see it.
For me, I would say that I ask the Holy Spirit, like, what is in my hand? And I would encourage us as well, like, what is in your hand? An example is that last year it was quite a tough year for me financially, but I felt the Holy Spirit give me this idea, and I find that the Holy Spirit is full of ideas that he wants to share with us. And I had this idea. I was driving to work, and for every pay to draw out $5 and keep it in my glove box and create like a little stash for the people at the traffic lights that lovingly wash our windscreens. And so just to like create this intentional moment that when I'm at the lights that I can actually give them $5. And the other thing the Holy Spirit like encouraged me in was to and it's super practical, but it was to attach like a post-it note with encouragement and like as I give it to them. So it's I just find that the Holy Spirit, there's always ideas that he has, and even in what could be a tough, you know, financial time, there's a joy that comes from it.
Awesome. So good. So how, you know, do you keep your heart in a sweet place? And like May, you touched on it, but priorities. How do you keep your heart in a sweet place of wanting to give rather than prioritise what you would naturally want? The Bible again says in Corinthians, God loves a cheerful giver, so that we give out of that place of want to, not have to. How do you keep your heart in a sweet place? So it'd be great to hear from you, May.
For me, it's obedience. Yeah. You know, when you asked me to be part of the panel, I was a bit embarrassed because you don't want to be labelled as you're so generous. But I thought, you know what, it's about sharing our heart. And for me, it really is obedience. You know, then I checked what does generous mean in the Bible, and all these other aspects came. But then when it came to money, it was very clear that God has asked us to build his house. And build his kingdom. So for me, my priorities are kingdom expansion number one. So my focus is the church, and secondly, the Christian radio station. So I focus on that. I give a little bit here and there to the Red Cross, Salvation Army, but that's not intentional. Is I see it in Burke Street Mall, and they've got a tin can there, I throw some money in. But for me, the priorities is obedience to God.
Yes. Amen. So good. Brendan, I'd love to hear from you in regards to that too.
Yeah, I think what you just shared was brilliant. For me, two things. Firstly, it's not about me. It's what Jesus did, and we're just following that same example. So
yeah,
awesome. It's just a privilege to know God. It's obviously his gift of grace that we're all here as well. Today, so once you have that revelation, you realise, yeah, it's not about you, and I think that helps. And sorry, I've just forgotten. Can you just go the question?
Was there your heart being cheerful and keeping your heart in a sweet place when it comes to generosity?
I think once you start, I think generosity is like a muscle. You got to keep using it. And over the time that you use it and you see the fruit in other people's lives and then what comes back to you, and you don't do it for that reason, but it always does come back, that it's just incredible. And what, and you kind of, to see God move, you just want to see God move more and more. And, you know, I think of the example of obedience of faith, which is like a muscle as well, with Abraham, and when he was asked to sacrifice his son Isaac. And God didn't start there, obviously. It was a bit of a journey for Abraham or Abram to get there. And it's the same thing with generosity, just as May shared earlier, just for me, starting small, you see God move, you keep doing it, you keep using that muscle, and you see God do incredible things. And why would you want to live in your own place where it is about you when you can see what God can do and just live a supernatural life? So, yeah, I want to walk on water any chance I get.
So good. So, so good, Brendan. Amazing. And babes, love to hear from you as well when it comes to that.
Yeah. I mean, how good are the answers that are coming from us? It's, I'd say I'll probably align like with May, like that sense of obedience. And just, I just want to live the life that Jesus lived, right? And he was generous everywhere he went. Everywhere he went, he was generous. I was just thinking about it. When he made wine, he made the best wine, right? Like, that's generous, right? He started from a generous woman named Mary, right, who was willing to give up her body, give up her literally her life, her marriage, in the sense to say, God, I'll follow you. And out of that, Jesus is born into the world. When he filled up basketfuls to feed people, he never got just enough on the table. There were 12 baskets left over. I love that. He's a generous God. Yeah. For God so loved the world that he gave his one only. How do you be a Christian and not be generous?
Yeah.
That's probably the bigger question to ask. Like, how do you stay stingy? If we're made in his image and we take on his spirit is basically saying all the time to me, get over yourself, get out of yourself. Do you not see them? Can you not help there? And so for me, even as I drive, I bought some jumper leads in my car because I love pulling over to people who are on the side of the road. And funny story, once I did that once when Nadia and I were dating. We may have been engaged, and it was about 1 a.m. and we're driving from Auckland down to the Coromandel, and it was late at night, and this car was, and I pulled over, but then there was a movie I'd watched like a couple of months ago, earlier, and it was about how someone helps someone and then they end up in a whole lot of trouble. And so anyway, I pulled over, Nadia's asleep, and this guy's walking up, and I put the window down, and I thought I smelled alcohol. I think it was just my imagination, and I just dropped the hammer and did a burnout as I took off. I don't know where that came from, but you know, it's everywhere around us. Some of the most eye-watering times is when I sat next to a homeless guy and spent time with him on the street after meeting with someone in the city. I need to hear his story where he's like, I'm grateful to be on the street because that's where I met Jesus. And so then he said, when I get tips in my jar, I sit this spot all the time, and the parking warden comes and he goes to give a ticket. But before he gets to put the ticket on the window, I go up and put some of the coins from my jar into the meter. So that person doesn't get a ticket anymore. And I'm like, that's the spirit of God inside of us. That's the life we're called to live. And again, I just love who he is. He healed with breaking the Sabbath. He was cared more about the lame than he did the law. He played with kids. Send the kids away. No. Send the kids to me. I want to spend time with them. He walked over 42 miles so he could meet with a woman at a well. He's so generous. And I just want to live that obedience when his Holy Spirit says, go and help them, go and talk to them, go and give to them. I just want to live that same model for myself, and yeah.
Amazing.
Could I just add as well?
Yeah.
Awesome. I think that if there's a barrier in your heart where you feel like it is hard to give, like I know for me, I think it's important and powerful that we like bring that area of our heart towards God, like be vulnerable with your lack towards God, because I've found that when I've been vulnerable, like that's where, you know, trust is built in your relationship with God. So then when I do read the Bible where, you know, God's saying, like, give and these sort of scriptures, I actually feel his, like, fatherly authority, so to speak, and I have a joy to give, and then it's like I'm faithfully giving and not begrudgingly doing it. So I would just encourage us, take that place of your heart to God.
So good.
Beautiful. And he is the author of our heart, isn't he? Author of who we are. And it's so true. Such a beautiful point. I love Proverbs 11, verse 25. It says, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will also be refreshed. And that so goes against popular culture today. Yeah. That is all about, hey, put yourself first. And then once you've put yourself first, out of the outflow of that, help others. But this verse is saying, hey, you will be refreshed when you live from that place of refreshing others, of putting others first. And so I would just love it to, I'm going to put this to you, Brendan, to answer, but how have you found that actually working in your life, that as you give, you yourself are refreshed?
Yeah, I think for me, Ange and I, we had the wonderful opportunity to spend some time in India 10 years ago now probably, and we're just working in Mumbai, just kind of on in the slums with the children there, and it was just incredible, the need. And the one thing that always sticks out is just the smell of that place. It was horrible. And yet the people there were truly incredible. And I know for us, we went across to give, and we were able to give, and we were able to provide needs, you know, hungry kids, sick kids, provide medication, you know, use our resources to help. And yet I'm telling you right now, that changed us forever, because whatever we were able to give, when it came to financial, when it came to our time, we received so much more back spiritually, and just their spirit of what they carried, you know, they were believers as well, and what they deposited back into us for the hope, for just being satisfied with the little, just being satisfied with the faith that we all have. It just kind of changed that perspective forever. And now, you know, Ange and the business she's kind of founded, which I'm helping with Worthy, we're able to give back even more. Amazing. And yet, throughout it all, we've been blessed so much more, because it's just changed our perspective on everything. You know, even when we come back here and you have challenges in life, you realise they're not really challenges. So I think it just changes your perspective when you give. And you always just, yeah, God always gives back so much more.
Anybody, over to you, May, as well.
I had a similar experience as Brendan. I went to Cambodia, and I can truly relate to the smell and the dirt, and I hate both. but it was an eye-opener, because I went along as supporting somebody who was in that mission. I wasn't going on a mission. But it reminds you on, we have so much, and others have so little. So whatever little that community was doing, and it was a Christian community, and you hear stories about how they walk, you know, 10 kilometers to go to church, and here I am grumbling when I have to drive 5 minutes. It puts a different spin on life that you need to, you know, look at things and get back to the basics.
Yeah.
So when I look at our church and what we have been called to do, and in the area of giving, and I look at what is the community impact of the work we do, it's just amazing.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about building the kingdom. But I also, this morning, I just had this flash thinking that God, I want God to be happy with me and pat my head and said, you know, well done, good and faithful servant. Because when I look at my little grandchild, 2.5 years old, he says, oh, Jude, go and throw it in the rubbish bin. And he does it, and he comes back, and he's all smiling, and you pat him on the head. And I'm thinking, well, God must be patting me on the head when I'm being faithful. So I thought, well, that's a good feeling.
Beautiful. It's so true. Over to you, Ben.
Yeah, I think the amazing thing is with that verse, it says, and if you read in the message, it says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger, but the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. And I don't know about you, but in a time that we're living in, there's a sense of like, you better hold on to what you have, and you better do everything you can to not let anything get hold of it, where God's actually got this opposite economy at work in our lives. And that's the thing, is we are a part of a different kingdom. We can either put ourselves in the kingdom of this world and operate by its principles, or we can place ourselves in God's hands and operate at a kingdom level that actually says, you don't actually miss out when you follow me, you don't actually miss out when you trust me. And it goes on and says, the one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are also helped. Or a generous person in the NIV will prosper. People go, oh, don't say that word in church. Well, what's the opposite? What's the opposite? I don't want the opposite. What's the opposite to prospering? Lack, little, can't do much, see a need, can't help anywhere. Someone goes, oh, would somebody help? Well, I would help, but I live a small life because I just hold on to what I have and fearful that if it rains another day, I've got some money in the bank. And I'm not saying don't live with wisdom, but I'm just saying God's principle says, hey, don't live tight-handed. Live with a principle that says, hey, I'm open to leading how God wants to lead. And then I was reading and looked at this, and science and stats actually reveal God's word to be true. And a recent research provided has convincing evidence that to a certain degree, we are biologically programmed to be generous. Studies have shown that giving money triggers the brain's dopamine-rich reward system. It's the same as eating cake. You like that, darling?
Yes.
Or engaging in other satisfying activities. But studies have shown that when people donate, either financially or through volunteering, isn't it amazing when we come and serve in church and things like that? Like, there's this thing of like, man, I'm raising another generation. I'm not just babysitting kids here. Oh, my goodness, we're able to worship together because I'm able to bring my gift to it. And I might not be seen because I'm on the side console, but that's not about being seen. It's about how do we bring what God's given to us. And God moves through that. It's just amazing. The brain releases this feel-good chemical, spurring on the performance, spurring you on to perform these acts. And actually, psychologists call it a helper's high. Studies have linked that volunteering leads to happiness, better physical health, and increased mental health. Scientists have found that that older adults who participate in volunteering in organizations have lower depression rates, less anxiety, and are an increased will to live. And yeah, there's another stat in there as well, but I just love it that Paul says this in Acts 20, verse 35. He says, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And I think, like the guys are saying, whether it's in India, whether it's in other nations, whether it's in your neighborhood, man, there's something powerful as we give out. And I just want to be someone that flows out. I don't want to put the dam in place. I want to be someone that moves it.
The scripture that comes to mind for that question is John 4:32, when Jesus was at the well with the woman. Like, I can't help but not think about that because at that time the disciples were hungry, and I bet Jesus was as well, and they were like, we're going to go get food. And he's like, no, I'm going to wait here, because he knew there was going to be, you know, a moment with a woman that he was going to minister to. And then he says, you know, my food is to do the work of my Father. And, you know, when we do step out, and not even just financially, like it could just be serving your colleagues in your workplace, like whatever it is, I think it comes back to that heart and that intentionality. But out of it, you know, well, what is food? It's like nourishing and satisfying and fulfilling. And you know that feeling when you do step out. And that was Jesus. Jesus is more concerned about doing the work of his Father than like physically, you know, filling his hunger. So.
Amazing. When we do that, when we do the work of our Father, how much that fills us. Yeah. Amazing. This is a scripture that you used, babes, a few weeks ago when talking about the principle of tithing. It's from 1 Chronicles 29, verse 14. It says, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to be as generous as this? Everything comes from you, and we've only given back what comes from your hand. And what an amazing mindset to have, that when it comes to our giving, especially our tithing, our first tenth in God's house, giving beyond that as well, we're just giving back to what is God's already. Yeah. And I just wanted to put it out to, I'd love you to lead this off, May, but now when it comes to giving, to, have you always had that kind of mindset when it comes to giving, or have there been times where that you've really had to challenge that mindset and to speak to yourself, to give with that kind of mindset?
I think there was a moment where, I'll talk about my experience in the a previous church, and I always challenge the tithe doesn't apply for modern times. Yeah. That's only the Old Testament. And I think also I wasn't convinced that the church was diligent in how the money was spent, so that I'm not going to give my 10%. But I did give targeted times to help the church. But once I don't know how it happened, but I think it slowly changed. And then when I decided that there's enough of arguing about reasons not to tithe, and then I heard on the radio once, you know, we complain about our husbands all the time. He didn't do this right and all. But then the sermon was about stop picking on what is wrong. Yes. but focus on what is positive. So that made me flip the switch and say, stop arguing about it and just do it. Wow. You know, and once I did it, it wasn't difficult. I just had to flick the switch to say, you're going to stop arguing and challenging why you can't do it, but just obey and do it. And once that you get over that hurdle, it's not difficult, for me anyway.
Over to you, Brendan.
Yeah, look, I think for all of us, it's always a challenge. We go through different seasons and there's so many needs out there. There's so much to do. You know, I've run a business, help with other businesses, obviously the GM role, the board role, three kids, coach a basketball team. There's always stuff on and it's very easy to shrink back. And constantly you need to check yourself and go, well, what are my priorities? Am I living kingdom first? So for me, absolutely, it's always a huge challenge, to be honest. But once again, it's so easy to shrink back and live for yourself. And as Pastor Craig shared, that scripture of the world of the generous gets larger and larger and the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller is bringing it back to that kids' illustration. It's something that I teach my kids all the time and it's something I've got to constantly remind myself as well, to model that as well in my life. And so when it comes to generosity, quite often people think it's you're giving out of an overflow. But for me, quite often the challenge is when God asked me to give out of a sacrifice. Yeah. And that's when I know that the heart needs to come back to him and do you trust me? And so those are the challenges where people can think, oh, no, you're giving because you've got a lot. No. Chances are when I'm giving out of a lot, it's out of a sacrifice to go, God, I need to put you first again. And so I constantly have to come back to that all the time.
Yeah, so good. Charles, do you want to add to that?
Yeah, I think that it's definitely a challenge, and any young adults, young professionals here, I think when you go through uni, you're learning to live on that student income or Centrelink or whatever it is, and then you become a young professional and you're working full time, and then you're trying to navigate, you know, how to spend your finances. But I do remember there was a time, and this was back in my early 20s, where I was a student, and I was finding it hard with, you know, tithing and financials. And there was actually someone in my church at the time that said to me, oh, you know, just, you know, don't tithe. Like, it's okay. Like, God knows, you know, what you're going through. And I took that advice on, and there was a time that I didn't tithe. But I remember I felt so sick about it. And it was like, no, this, like, God's way is tithing. And it did come back to that heart of, like, no, God, you have all of my heart. And God did provide, and he always provided, and in miraculous and, you know, different kinds of ways. So just to be real, like, yeah, it is something that I think you have to sort of navigate and work out with God, but it is God's way and it is his principle, and you're so much better for it.
So good. Did you want to add to that, babes?
No, I thought it was awesome. I think the thing for me is I've learned, it was through offerings that I learned to hear God's voice. So when we were in young adults as well, when we started coming to life, and I'd been away from God and came back, I'd tithe on a Sunday, but then we had Friday night, we had young adults meeting every week, and there would be an offering message every Friday night. And every Friday night I'd say, go, God, what do you want me to do tonight? And it was actually where I grew a confidence of knowing what his voice sounded like. And sometimes I would hear nothing, and then I would just say to myself, okay, well, what would be generous? And he knew what was in my account. He knew what was in my pocket. And there wasn't generally a lot because I was studying as well. But sometimes he'd say, give it all. And that might only be $15 when you're a student and you're like, oh, well, two-minute noodles it is. Or somebody else's two-minute noodles it is. But you would give it, and then everyone would go out to dinner, and then someone you'd line up, and then someone would be, you know, or someone would just be, hey, I'll grab your meal tonight. And you'd be like, no, you don't need to. And they go, no, I really feel like I should. And you just have those little moments. And there were many times that you just went hungry as well, but you didn't complain about it and be like, oh, I sowed tonight, so I can't have anything. Yeah. But it was amazing how I learnt his voice. And I would say it's the same voice I heard to marry Nadia. It's the same voice I heard when I drove on Sims Street. It's the same voice. And I learnt that voice through an area that's also attached to my heart. And I think for me, I've just loved hearing his voice. And if it's an area of finance, or if it's an area of talking to a stranger about Jesus, or if it's an area of forgiving somebody, it's a voice I've learned to hear in this area. And I think that excites me. And then in there is that wrestle. There absolutely is that wrestle of like, gosh, but what could I do with this? I could do so much with this. I need this. And then you just have to go to that point and go, God, do I actually trust that you also see what else I would like? And then he says, well, if you seek me first, mate, I'll ensure everything else is looked after. And we just haven't seen God fail us once. Doesn't mean we've always had a lot and a lot of excess. Doesn't mean I haven't had to work two jobs at times. But God's never failed us. And I love that testimony probably more than how do I navigate that and the opposite.
So powerful, isn't it? It's awesome. I would love us to close with this question. And I think, you know, for me, when it comes to generosity, and we've lived lives where, we have sold homes, we have moved countries because of obedience to God and wanting to be generous with our lives, wanting to live big lives. And I think a verse that always I come back to is from Matthew 6, verse 90 to 20. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. And just that confidence that we are sowing for eternity, and eternity is what really matters. And that challenge is so huge for us because we see before us what is natural, what feels good to the flesh, but sowing for eternity. And we're about to enter into expansion where we as a church, we're looking at how we're going to keep investing into the generations, into Sim Street, into furthering everything that God has for us to do here on this earth. And it's that challenge of what am I going to invest for eternity? What am I going to sacrifice personally so that I am giving for eternity? And we'd love, Charles, why don't you lead us off? But that the whole thing of how have you prioritized investing for eternity, not just living for this world?
I love our expansion season that we're going through, and I have been here for about 8 years, and I love that from the very start. I know that Pastor Craig and I have always said, like, as we get larger, we grow smaller. And I've heard that for the past 8 years, and it's such a reality of our church. But I have found that I always have needed to challenge myself and grow empathy and gratitude in myself. And I would often think, well, you know, that was me once that came into church, or, you know, when I was younger, when I found the Lord. And I think that coming into this time of expansion, to capture that heart and capture, like, to capture the vision of it, we need to, like, go back and think about that. And there is, like, a brain science where the larger a number gets, it's harder for the human brain to comprehend. So we'll count in, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, but then it goes to, like, many. And so while expansion is this, like, large, exciting concept, it needs to be like an intimate narrative, like in our hearts, that it's like the ones and the people that are coming in, and even in our finances, like, well, no, like every dollar counts. So, yeah, that's sort of what comes to mind for me.
Amazing, Shelley.
You know, when you think of businesses and they do very long-term plans, like environmental, and could be 20-year plan, 50-year plan. So I look at that and I think, you know, and you see little bits happening in time, and that motivation that things are happening. I think for me, in terms of keeping that in mind, that with expansion is about kingdom build. And you may not see it now, but you know it's going to be in generations to come. So I think that is a strong motivation for me. And I'm a pretty simple person, you know. Once I focus on my priorities, I generally don't sway unless there's a real reason for it. So I stick to my top two priorities. It's our church and the Christian radio station. Because that, and you listen to the stories of the impact to people, yes. Right? It's just somebody heard on the radio and was touched. You know, little Bible verses. And same with our church, as we have people who come and share about how much of a sacrifice and how much of a faith giving they've done. It makes me think about, wow, you know what? God, that's a good reminder. You know, if they can do it, we should also do it. And it's, I also think to remind myself, the widow who gave the mite. You know, so don't think of your dollar as nothing. Every dollar counts. So I find that quite humbling, and I always have to remind myself back to the grassroots.
So good. Pretty simple. Earth, so short. Eternity, so big. I'm 41, today, obviously my birthday. In earthly terms, that's middle age. In eternity, still got the diapers on. So where do I want to invest my time? Where do I want to invest my finances? Where do I want to serve? It's got to be for eternity. I want to have that ledger way bigger than this earthly life because it's gone like that.
Yeah, amazing. I think there is that thing for all of us when we get to heaven. We want God to say in every area of our life, well done. Well done. And it does mean that we do have to take these areas and say, God, like, what's my motive behind it? Is my motive what your motive is? You know, I've been reading over Malachi 3 again, you know, around that whole, you know, how have you been robbing me through tithes and offerings? And he says, come on, if you would trust me in the tithe, place it in the storehouse. See, and I will not open up the windows of heaven and you won't have room enough to store it. And I've been thinking about that and God's been putting it in my heart. It's been amazing because what happens is when God starts to bless, what can be easy for us is we try and make our storeroom bigger. But he's actually saying, no, your capacity shouldn't have got any better. You should have no room to contain it. What happens when you don't contain it? It starts to run over our lives. But we live in a world that basically says, well, I can build a bigger house. I can now buy a more expensive car. And I'm not saying being able to afford different things, but is it in the same motive as the heart that we have to see God's house be all that he wants it to be? To be able to see the gospel spread as much as God's longing for the gospel to be spread, to see the hungry fed the same way that God wants the hungry to be fed, to find the lonely, to find a family. And I just think in that thing of, for me personally, is like in our family when we come to these moments, it's like, yeah, there's things that we would love to add to our house, but God, not before your house. And God, if we can add it to your house, then who knows, you'll look after everything that we have. And again, our story as a family just to go gets to be, God, look what you did here. And then look what you did there. And look what you did there. And oh man, it was going to run out. But then you made a way and you did that. And I just don't want to be someone that goes, how do I spend and increase my capacity to eat more and take more? But how do I live from a posture that gets that thing of what you flow in, God, freely flows out as well. And that's what's awesome about the God, Money and Me book. I know we talked the other week about tithing and that principle, but if you haven't got that book, you need to get it because it also talks about how to save for the generations, how to seed, which means there's a bandwidth in your life that you can give out of, and then how do you spend within your means. And it really gives you confidence then to be able to sow in different areas God leads you. And so the eternity piece is something that I think just flows through the everyday. And I'm excited about expansion because, as May said, the vision that God's putting in our heart is literally decades long. And it just includes every person to what God leads in our heart. And that's the cool thing. It's a heart-led moment. So, yeah.
So good. And it all comes back to people. It all.
We trust that you are encouraged by this powerful message. You always have a place to call home here at Life. And we invite you to join us for our Sunday services at our Melbourne campus. If you're not in Melbourne, then join us for church online, wherever you are in the world. Just head to lifeau.org to stay connected and find out more.